I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So the Chiefs in their next three games play the other three teams in the division. What we'll do over the next couple of weeks is take a trip around the AFC West to just update you on the standings. As you know, right now, Kansas City is in first place in their division with a record of 7-4. The other three teams in the AFC West all sit at 6-5. The Los Angeles Chargers, the Las Vegas Raiders, and the Denver Broncos. Let's take our first trip around the AFC West, and let's head to Las Vegas to be joined by Scott Goldbrandson.
Pass play down the middle to go, and it's there. That's DeSean Jackson tiptoeing for the touchdown.
Scott, how's it going, my man?
Good, buddy. How you doing? Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Glad to be back on the air talking football with you.
Absolutely, man. I just want to know if they've picked up all the flags off the field from Thanksgiving. It was a lot of them out there. I just want to know if they've gotten them all up off the turf.
Boy, it was painful. It was also painful watching my Twitter feed that night because I kept complaining about it. I felt like the old man on the lawn screaming, "Get off my lawn." Yeah, it was terrible. The NFL, though, the ratings continue to go up. Carrington, I don't think they care.
Which doesn't make any sense why they wouldn't want to improve their product, but that's a longer conversation for another day. What version of the Las Vegas Raiders do you think are real? Because coming into the game against the Cowboys, they had lost three straight. They lost to the Giants, they got blown out by the Chiefs, and they got blown out by the Cincinnati Bengals. And then on Thanksgiving, in front of 38 million people, they beat one of the five best teams in the NFL in the Dallas Cowboys. What version of the Raiders do you think is real?
That's the big question, right, is how can this team find some consistency down the stretch? Over the past 3 years, you know their record on the second half of the season has been deplorable. They've had four years straight now of quick, good starts, including this year's 5-2 starts, only to falter down the stretch. And who knows with this team? I mean, they come out on Thanksgiving, which really was a must-win game with them, and they finally get the offense going. Derek Carr, 3,414 yards, leads the NFL in passing yards. And he looked good against the Cowboys, but yet the Raiders, despite the win, and they had to push into overtime to do it, the Raiders still, you know, wins don't cover up deficiencies, and the Raiders are still having trouble against the run. They're still having trouble on third down. They're one of the worst, next to last in the NFL in third down efficiency. They're also terrible in the red zone. So if you're not going to be good in the red zone, you're not going to be able to score. How are you going to beat the leader in the AFC West, the Kansas City Chiefs? If you're not scoring six and you're only scoring three, you're going to lose that battle every time.
That's a great question. The biggest thing that I've noticed with the Raiders, and you watch them far more closely than I am, I can't imagine an organization paying me $100 million, and it doesn't matter if I'm there or not. The Raiders don't look any different, for better or worse, with the loss of John Gruden. Is that a fair and accurate statement to make as they have an interim coach?
I think there is some validity to the statement, Carrington. I also think, though, that it is noticeable, for example, with some of the issues they had on offense. They've been terrible in the red zone and on third down for the last 3 years, so that's consistent under Gruden, whether he's there or not. But the play calling itself and getting things on track during some of the games, Gruden was very specific about scripting plays at the beginning of games. They've kind of ventured away from that and has not done them any better. But it is a valid point, and I do think that the franchise overall, remember, not only did they lose Gruden as a coach, they lost their president of the team. Of course, they lost Henry Ruggs to the tragic decision that he made. which impacted so many lives. And so this team, there's so many different directions you can go. And I do think they're somewhat leaderless. And you see it on the field and some of the problems that existed under Gruden there. Some are new and some won't be rectified until they get to the offseason to get some stability.
You mentioned leaderless. That's pretty damning of a comment, I would say, towards their quarterback. Like Derek Carr, he gives off a lot of I am the leader energy when it comes to that team. Do you think that he's this team's leader?
I do think, listen, off the field, what he has done during the Gruden and the Henry Ruggs situation and everything they've gone through this year has been remarkable, and I give him credit for that. At the end of the day, it's not about how many yards you throw. It's not how many touchdowns you throw. It's about how many games you win. And Derek Carr, that's been the big knock on him overall, and I think he's done a good job. But at the same time, is he any different than we thought he was coming into this year? He started out incredibly hot. Then he got inconsistent. It's very, very telling because that's what's happened every year. Is he a top 15 quarterback? I think so. Is he a top 10 quarterback? I don't think he's proven that out. You can't convince me of that because of 3,400 yards. Leaders like that, MVP-type candidates, franchise quarterbacks, in my view, have to get their team over the hump, have to get them over huge obstacles and win football games and get to the playoffs. He has a chance to do it. Clearly, down this stretch and these tough games that they have, Derek Carr is going to show what he's made up. He's also playing for a contract, Carrington, so that's got to play into it as well.
Last question here with Scott Goldbrandt, who covers the Las Vegas Raiders, doing an AFC whip around as the Chiefs sit at 7-4. The other three teams in the AFC West sit at 6-5. The six remaining game for the Raiders, home against Washington, at Kansas City, at Cleveland, home against Denver, at Indianapolis, home against the Los Angeles Chargers. If I set the over-under on wins this season for the Las Vegas Raiders at 9.5, you taking the over or the under?
I'm going to stick with what I said in August on our show, which was 9 wins. I still think they get it. I picked them to go 9-8. We look at the schedule on the back end here. It's hard to find a 10th win unless something drastic happens with one of the other teams, and anything can happen down the stretch. But you look at the game against Washington at home. Look what Washington last night did with Seattle, right? And then, of course, you have the interdivisional games with Kansas City, Los Angeles, and Denver. All those teams are playing pretty well. Yes, they're a little bit inconsistent, but at the same time, they're all pretty equal, and so it could go either way. But I still pick the Raiders to win 9 games. And who knows, though, with the way the AFC is matching up and with some of the tiebreakers they have, they could end up making the playoffs. But I really still think if you want to be comfortable, you're going to have to win 10.
That's Scott Goldbrandson, who covers the Las Vegas Raiders. We take a trip around the AFC West. Scott, always good talking football with you, my friend. Take care.
Thank you. Take care, my man.
Absolutely. That's Scott Goldbrandson. Oh, my goodness. That's my fault there. If the Raiders are only winning 9 games and you're taking the under over on 9.5 with how competitive the AFC is, I just don't see how you're a playoff team. I mean, right now in the AFC, there are 12 teams that have 5 or more wins. I mean, 12th place right now in the AFC is the Cleveland Browns, and they're 6-6. So if you're not going to get to 10, it's not realistic to think that you can make the playoffs.
You said it earlier in the year, and I echo it. You called it a race to 11 back before the Chiefs played the Packers. You got to get to 11 to be solidly in and maybe win the division. If you're topping out at 9, you got to figure the Chargers, Chiefs, and way more teams are going to run past you. 9 wins does not make this Raiders team a Super Bowl threat and definitely not a playoff threat.
I would say you probably have to win 11 to feel comfortable of making the playoffs. I would say 10 still puts you in a lot of tiebreaker scenarios because of how jumbled up the AFC is. Like, it's so jumbled up. 10 is going to make making the playoffs comfortably. I mean, so right now, so the 4 divisional winners, Baltimore, New England, Tennessee, Kansas City, as of now, Cincinnati is the 5 seed, Buffalo's the 6 seed, Los Angeles is the 7 seed, but barely hanging on to it. I mean, these are the teams that have 6 wins right now in the AFC. Los Angeles, Vegas, Denver, Indianapolis, Cleveland. One of those teams is going to go, and probably 2 of those teams is going to go 4-2 down the stretch, and that's going to be the difference between making or missing the playoffs. You probably got to win 11 to feel really comfortable in the AFC if you're going to make the playoffs. 10 probably gets you in. 9, I don't think you have a chance of making the playoffs if you only win 9 games in the AFC. Let's go back to the phone lines right now and continue our trip around the AFC West. We'll head to Denver and catch up with Josh Dover.
Picked off! Sertan the sideline. Can he get there? Surtain to the end zone for the touchdown.
Let's head to the phone lines right now and be joined by our next guest, Josh Dover of Altitude 950. Josh, how you doing, my man?
I'm feeling good, Kenton. How you doing today, man?
I'm doing good, man. The Broncos with a really impressive 28-13 win over the Los Angeles Chargers. They get Patrick Surtain back, and he dominated that game defensively. The Broncos are one of the more confusing teams in the AFC. They're 6-5, and I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know how this team is over 500.
You're not alone, man. I was spending the week on my show trying to figure out who this Bronco team is. Yeah, Patrick Surtain proving to be the man with that number 9 overall pick. Fangio said he spoke for Peyton, said they wouldn't change that pick, knowing what they know now even about Mac Jones. Said that to the media on Monday. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. They finally run the football, and when they do run the football at a 30 or more pace per game, they can win football games. But for some reason, Pat Shurmur wants to prove to everybody he's the smartest guy in the room and continues running those 3 wide receiver sets, getting Teddy in trouble, and that's when the Broncos start to stumble. So I guess the way you make Pat Shurmur run the football is make Drew Lock be your quarterback, because that's how they ran the football and that's how they won the game against L.A.
We talked about this earlier today to lead off the show. The 3 teams that I think have taken a step forward in quarterback are also the 3 surprising teams in the AFC. Cincinnati's getting better quarterback play on account of Burrow being healthy. They're in the playoff picture. New England's getting improved quarterback play. They're in the playoff picture. So is Denver. Denver has cut down on the turnovers from the quarterback position, going from Locke to Teddy Bridgewater, and they find themselves firmly in the mix for a wild card spot.
Yeah, and it's like I said, just who is this team? I said it today on my show, Kennington, that if you told Broncos country out here in Denver to start the season and you said, hey, I'm not going to tell you how it happened, but in December, you're going to play a primetime football game against the Chiefs and the winners in outright first place of the AFC West, everyone in this city would be doing jumping jacks and cartwheels in celebration of that scenario. But if you go talk to a Broncos fan here in Denver, it's doom and gloom. You don't trust Teddy. You certainly don't trust Pat Shurmur. That's the one thing that we can all agree on. And it's, I mean, you lose to the Eagles 2 weeks ago. We're talking about Fangio and Shurmur losing their jobs during the bye. That doesn't happen. They re-up with a couple of playmakers for next year, and then you go get a win against the Los Angeles Chargers team, putting yourself in the position that you're in. So I think this game this week has a chance to define whether or not Vic Fangio is coming back as the Broncos head coach in 2022.
So even if the Broncos maybe finish with the winning record and go 9-8, you see a possibility in which they replace their head coach?
Absolutely. 100%. I think it's playoffs or bust for Coach Vic Fangio. And I think he has to at least get this team into the playoffs to even continue to have that conversation. Just has a year left on his deal, so it would be a clean pull. You know, you don't got to pay him a bunch. Plus, what we talk about a lot out here is ownership situation. Peyton's safe. George Peyton's got himself 5 years to go with his current contract. So I think George Peyton coming in, and you know how it goes, Carrington. Peyton told us in the media he took the job because of Vic Fangio. Well, we don't believe you, bro, and we won't ever believe you when you say things like that. So I think it's playoffs or bust, or Fangio is out. And I'll say this, maybe this is just a want instead of a take on my part, but I don't see a way at all that Pat Shurmur returns as the OC no matter what happens.
Right now we're talking to Josh Dover of Altitude 950. It's surprising to hear you say this, because I would think that Broncos fans are confident and hopeful and feel like they're taking a step forward. Like, the Broncos have shown a lot of fight. The defense looks to be improved. And especially when you look at the quarterback situation as the NFL kind of sits, I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo might be changing team. Russell Wilson might be changing teams. Aaron Rodgers might be changing teams. Deshaun Watson might be changing teams. Like, the Broncos, to me, are firmly in the mix to go out there and grab one of those quarterbacks that would obviously drastically change the course of where everything is heading. I'm surprised that fans seem so willing to kind of move forward with a new head coach and a new offensive coordinator.
Yeah, it's just almost like same story, same movie, same ending type of situation where Broncos country is in right now, because you went out and got a defensive coach for the second consecutive time of hiring a head coach where the league is trending on the offensive side of things. Pat Shurmur Kenton went 24 games without an opening drive touchdown. How in the hell does someone keep their job when they failed 24 times at something that you put such an emphasis on? So, like I said, I think a playoff berth takes Fangio. I don't think there's a single thing out there that can save Pat Shurmur. And some rumblings that we've heard from inside of Dove Valley, where the Broncos practice out here, is that George Payton already has a short list of coaches that he would like to talk to, and every single coach on that short list, at least what I've been told, has a relationship or has had a relationship with Russell Wilson. So that's kind of where their target is if this doesn't go well into the playoffs. And like I said, I still believe even if you sneak in as a wild card and get beat up in weekend one, I still think they're looking for Russell Wilson and a coach to replace Fangio that has a relationship with Russ.
Josh, I was going to ask you what's your confidence for Sunday night, but I think you've answered the question over the last 5 minutes. Thanks for coming on today.
Always, Dan. I appreciate you, Kevin. Have a good one.
Absolutely. That's Josh Dover of Altitude 950. I didn't need to ask him what he thought about Sunday's game. He was kind of telling us, like, he ain't very hopeful about their chances of beating the Kansas City Chiefs. Rob, if you're at the point in your relationship where you're going to leave after the next fight, then your relationship is over and you just don't know it yet. If you told yourself in the AFC West, we need to be better than Kansas City or we're firing our head coach, then you've already made the decision to fire your head coach if you're the Broncos. Like, they're firing Vic Fangio at the end of the season. I would say if that team won 9 games and they went 9-8, that's a little bit of room for optimism. It does solidify that they have a good roster and you just have to continue to improve the quarterback position. But if they have a very simple playoff or bust scenario for that Broncos team, it's going to be bust. They're going to be very disappointed and they're going to be looking for a new head coach this offseason.
I am like floored that it was playoffs or bust. Were they seeing something different with this team coming into the season than me and you? I was pleasantly surprised the Broncos, unpleasantly surprised the Broncos. They haven't been world beaters, but I thought they're going to be a laughing stock. And they're a win in Kansas City away from first in the AFC West. I guess new GM come in, clean house. I guess you got to do it post COVID. That's kind of how things are going. See college football, but I'm stunned it's playoff or bust in Denver.
Let's go to the phone lines right now and take our final trip in the AFC West. We head to Los Angeles, California to catch up and learn more about the Chargers.
Herbert fires open, making the grab. Mike Williams down the sideline. High steps his way in for the touchdown.
We are happy to be joined by Daniel Popper. He is the Chargers beat writer for The Athletic. Daniel, happy to have you on again, man.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Daniel, I changed my pick to the Chargers, or from Kansas City to the Chargers to win the division, and I have looked like an absolute fool the last couple of weeks. What's happened with the Chargers, my man?
Yeah, so I think that early start to the season, the 4-1 start, sort of set these sky-high expectations, and people were labeling them as one of the best teams in football. But since then, you've seen regression. You've seen, you know, some of these roster holes exposed. You know, in this game on Sunday against the Broncos, they were down 3 starters on the offensive line. Justin Herbert was pressured on 19 of his dropbacks, and that had a significant impact on the offense. You're seeing some inconsistencies offensively. They lead the league in drops, penalties, protection breakdowns, and that's impacting their ability to score the football. Defensively, they really haven't been good this season. Just diving into the numbers today, they're ranked 29th in DVOA, Football Outsiders efficiency metric. Defensively, they're 23rd in EPA per play. Early in the season, it was a porous run defense. That's improved since the bye week, but their pass defense has been atrocious. Since the bye week, they're not getting good enough cornerback play. They've been down some corners with Michael Davis out with a hamstring injury for a couple of weeks. Asante Samuel Jr. suffered his second concussion in 4 weeks a couple of weeks ago, and he's out for the foreseeable future. And they just haven't gotten enough from their cornerback depth, and that's really an area of weakness on this team. Their special teams are still the worst in the league. So you sort of break it down that way, and it's like, okay, the 4-1 start was an illusion, to use the Brandon Staley term. And they're closer to what they've looked like over these last 6 games when they've gone 2-4 and sort of come back to earth.
How would you evaluate year 2 for Herbert? I was really high on him coming into the season. The numbers don't appear to really blow you away, but you watch him far more closely than I do.
Yeah, I still think he's playing at a really high level. Like I said, there's been a lot of protection issues this year. They lost right tackle Brian Bulaga in week 1, and Storm Norton has been a liability at right tackle. They lost Ode Ibushi at right guard, and they're starting Michael Schofield, who they signed off the street. So I think that's been an issue. I still see the same Justin Herbert. I think he's still a superstar quarterback, and you've seen that pop up in some of these games that he's won pretty much single-handedly, whether it's the Browns game or the Steelers game. You know, I think you look at the box score numbers, and he has 10 interceptions in the year. But you go watch the film, and some of these interceptions aren't his fault, where, you know, you're getting tip passes that are picked off. So, you know, you see some mistakes, right? I mean, in that game on Sunday, he tries to fit a ball into the back of the end zone. They're down 14-7. They're inside the red zone. You can't throw an interception in that situation. He underthrows the ball. It's picked off by Pat Surtain. But, you know, this is a guy that still hasn't made 30 starts in the league, and he's 23 years old. Like, they're going to have some mistakes. And I think in his rookie season, everyone sort of expected him to, you know, play perfect football week to week. But that's just not a realistic expectation for a quarterback who's young. He's growing in this offense. He's still making those eye-opening plays every single week. I think the protection is an issue right now. They don't really have a consistent running game. That's putting a lot of pressure on him to make plays, and you're going to have some mistakes in this situation.
Right now, we're talking to Daniel Popper here as we conclude our tour around the AFC West. The Chiefs are 7-4. The other three teams in the AFC West are 6-5. Final two questions here, Daniel. I appreciate your time. One's a very simple question, and I think most Chargers fans are asking themselves this question. How did you hire the Rams defensive coordinator yet look so porous defensively as the Chargers have for most of the season?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. I think primarily, you know, you talk about trying to fit square pegs into round holes, right? A defensive coordinator comes in and completely changes up the scheme, and you're trying to put players into position that were drafted and brought onto this team to play an entirely different scheme than Gus Bradley, who plays a lot of single high. This is a, you know, split safety system. So I think he's trying to make do with what he has, and it's going to take a little bit of time for him to get the players that he wants in here. You know, some of it has been depth concerns. You know, the rush defense was an issue early in the season, as I said. They lost Justin Jones, one of their better interior defensive linemen. They were playing a lot of undrafted players on the defensive line, and that was an issue. The pass defense was really good early in the season. You know, they were a top 10 pass defense in the league before the bye week, but some of these injuries at cornerback have really impacted them. They're playing Tavon Campbell on the outside right now, a former CFL player who's really in his second season getting NFL action. And he's making a lot of mistakes out there, whether it's missed tackles, whether it's losing leverage when he has help. You can see it on the tape. And they just haven't gotten good enough cornerback play this year. And I think that's been an issue in terms of their pass defense regression here over these recent weeks. But it just hasn't been good enough. And I think there's a lot of hope, both internally and externally, they were going to have a great defense, that Brandon Staley was going to come in here and work the same magic that he did with the Rams. But it hasn't come to fruition. And I think a lot of it is the personnel that he's trying to use right now.
So if the playoffs started today, the Chargers would make the playoffs. They would be the 7 seed. The final 6 games for the Los Angeles Chargers: at Cincinnati, home against the Giants, a Thursday night football affair against the Kansas City Chiefs, at Houston, home against the Broncos, and at the Raiders. I'll ask you the same question that we asked our first guest. If I set the over-under on wins right now for the Chargers at 9.5, would you take the over or the under?
I'm taking the under. I mean, I've been on 9-8 since April, since the draft, and since I looked at this roster. There's just too many roster holes here to look at this team and say, okay, they're going to be a 10, 11 win team, especially with what they're dealing with up front offensively on the offensive line right now. This game against Cincinnati is the season. Like, they have to go into Cincinnati and win this game. If they don't, they're 6-6. And they're looking at a steep climb up to make the playoffs. You know, right now, I don't think 9 wins is going to get you in. There's just too many teams in the AFC that are clumped together. You expect several of those teams to get to 10 wins, and you're probably going to need to get to 10 wins and get some help to get into the playoffs. So we'll see what happens in Cincinnati on Sunday. I'm taking the under on that just because of the issues that we've talked about here in this conversation.
That is Daniel Popper. He covers the Chargers for The Athletic. I have been sort of deemed Chargers dot on this show. I feel more positive about the Chargers than you do, which makes me feel like I don't know anything about the NFL or this team. Thanks, Daniel.
Thanks for having me, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.